This is the regular board meeting of the Rancho Murrieta Community Services District of January 19th, 2022. Amelia, roll call, please.
President Mabee, I know is absent. Director Janko.
Here.
Director Butler.
Here.
Director Merchant.
Here.
Director Pohl.
Here.
Welcome to the meeting.
Second item on the agenda is to consider a finding by a majority vote under Government Code Section 54953E3 that a result of the continuing COVID-19 emergency, the board has reconsidered the circumstances of the state of emergency. Mm-hmm. We renew our prior findings that the meeting in person would continue to present imminent risks to the health or safety of attendees, and the authorization for meetings to be held by teleconference pursuant to this government code is renewed. Do I have a motion to that effect?
I'll move it.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Director Pohl. We're gonna go ahead and do a roll call vote. Director Mabee is absent. Director Janko.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Here.
Director Merchant?
Yes.
And Director Pohl?
Aye.
I appreciate that.
Move on to item agenda, item number 3, consider adoption of the agenda. Do I have a motion to adopt the agenda for tonight's meeting?
I so move.
Thank you, Director Pohl. Second?
I second it, Amelia.
Thank you, Director Merchant. Roll call vote. Director Janko.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Aye.
Director Merchant.
Yes.
Director Pohl.
Aye.
We're rolling along.
Hey, I run a tight ship.
Good.
Let's move to that. All of that having been done, we will move to closed session. And we will be back for the open session at 5 o'clock.
So I will stop the recording.
Very good. We will continue the open session of the regular board meeting of the Community Services District. Item number 5 on the agenda is report from closed session. There is no action to report on the closed session. Item number 6 is the consent calendar. All items in this agenda item will be approved as one motion if they're not excluded from the motion adopting the consent calendar. Is there anything that any directors would like to remove from the consent calendar at this time?
Randy, this is Tom.
Yes.
Before we get past this, I need to address one of the items, so I'll let you go through all but item number B, C. So C. We're approving A and B.
A and B.
And then I'm going to discuss C, and Dick Shanahan's on the line to also support my discussion.
Gotcha. Anybody have anything else? Hearing nothing, I'll entertain a motion for approval of the consent calendar, items A and B.
I'll do that. It's John.
Thank you, Director Merchant. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Director Butler. Roll call vote. Again, for those of you just joining us, President Mabee is not with us this evening. That's why Director Janko is leading the meeting. I won't call on him again. Director Janko.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Yes.
Director Merchant.
Yes.
Director Pohl. Thank you.
Okay, Tom, item C.
So item number C was an emergency declaration approved by the board in December to address a valve that was leaking over on De La Cruz, and to deal with the legalities of getting proper bids for a job of this size, and the immediacy of needing to do it right away, the board declared an emergency to do the work. And part of that process, and this is something we learn as we go, part of that process is if we don't have the work done by the next board meeting, the board then needs to declare that the emergency is continuing. We initially felt that because the valve is replaced and all that's left to do is basically the asphalt of the replacing the asphalt on the square that was the work was done, that the emergency had then passed. But upon further review with the district council, if any part of the job is still open to be completed and the contractors actually still on the site awaiting to do the paving work, the emergency declaration needs to be made. And so we initially had this on the consent calendar, and I'm not exactly sure if we need to move it from consent or if the board can declare the emergency continues again for the month of January. And then in February, we'll come back and say the emergency has ended. At this point, I would like to hear from Dick Shanahan, who I believe has been prepped on this particular issue.
Yes, I have, Tom. And I think the board effectively already removed it from consent and it's now a separate item. And instead of continuing contracting emergency, the appropriate action would be to continue in effect the contracting emergency. And I recommend that motion for the reasons that the manager explained.
I'm asking for a motion to that effect.
Randy, it's John. Why don't we, I think it, as long as Dick thinks this is the right way to do it, I will make a motion that we continue the emergency, whatever you call it, motion or option in effect for the, next month? Do we have to fix a time on it again, or just can we continue to?
Yes, it'll come back next month, either to continue it in effect or to terminate it.
All right, well, I'll so move that. Does that work?
Is there a second?
Yes.
Is there a second on the motion?
I'll second it.
Anything? Thank you, Director Merchant, for the motion. Thank you, Director Pohl, for the second. Will we have discussion, Director Jenko, or shall we go to a roll call vote?
Is there any discussion?
Hearing I don't have any hands raised for chats.
Let's go to the roll call vote.
Oh, I do have a hand raised. Go ahead, Richard Gears.
I'm just wondering if you can do that since it wasn't on the agenda to vote to continue the. I'm
just wondering. Want me to address?
Dick, please.
Yes, what the Brown Act requires is that the general business matter be included on the agenda. We have the business matter, which is the emergency work being done for the valve replacement project. I and staff were simply wrong on the action that terminates. So I think the business item is adequately addressed for anybody who's interested in this project, but we're not ready to terminate it, so we're going to continue it. In effect, it's just the action is different than what's on the agenda, but the basic agenda business item is the same.
All right. Anybody have anything else on this? Amelia, roll call vote.
Thank you very much, sir. Director Jenko.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Yes.
Director Pohl.
Aye.
And Director Merchant.
Yes.
I appreciate that.
Very good. Let's move on to staff reports. General manager's report, Tom.
This was a late edition. It is on the internet, and I have a copy of it up here.
Okay, thank you, Director Jenko. In general, we we have switched back to the Zoom meetings under the rules of the Sacramento County Health Officer. So that's why we're doing this meeting virtual again. I wanted to discuss the emergency valve replacement. What we found is that it's concerning to me that the valve failed because a bolt has disintegrated. And so there's about four or five or six bolts that clamp this valve together. And then there's a washer in the middle of it. And of all these bolts, one of them, the bolt part of it was no longer there, thereby allowing it to spread a little bit, and then water started coming out. And what's concerning is that this is a valve that's been under the ground for probably, well, since the unit six was designed, the fairways, and that this piece of steel has fallen apart. And, you know, I'm going to ask when Michael returns, I talked to Travis about it today, but we've got to get an idea of how many of these valves we have in the ground, because if they're going to fail for general wear and tear just sitting under the ground, it's kind of concerning to me. And I know it's concerning to the improvements committee that the amount of infrastructure we have buried under the ground that may create expense down the road. So we need to be conscious of it as we go through the reserve report, and be aware that when we're talking about in the future, we have to replace water lines, or we have to replace equipment that's buried, that this is pretty serious to see a piece of equipment like this just plain fail. I asked James to keep the valve in question in his truck for a while in case anybody's interested in looking at it. So that's my concern there. The company that we hired to do the work did a great job. I know there was a little bit of issues with a little tiny bit of traffic control and a little bit to do with brown water. And from there, we used our Code Red system to notify the customers that were directly affected, but we needed to include more of the homes over there in Unit 6 in our notifications. And we also need to do a better job of explaining when people may experience brown water because of the work we're doing on the main water lines. You know, where I come from, about once every other year, we would get notices that the fire department was going to be exercising all the fire hydrants in our neighborhood. And so for the next day or so, if we saw any coloration in our water, we should just run our water until it became clear. And that's just natural. There's stuff in the pipes that have been there for many, many years. And when you do things like create water that sloshes around, it loosens up some of that material. But when the water is flowing normally, it just stays where it's at. So we'll do a better job next time. And we certainly have learned a little bit of our lesson on our information sharing as we go through these exercises. Because, you know, when you work on the pipes, brown water may occur because of water getting sloshed around or any, you know, movement, stuff like that. If there's any questions on that particular matter, I'd entertain, you know, I'll take them right now. And Travis is on the line too, if anybody has any questions for him.
Tom, do we know why this line is buried so deep? And secondly, do we know how many more of these deep lines we have? It seems to me that's the major cost variable here.
Correct. The valve itself is reasonable because they're all the same price, but digging so deep and cutting and hiring the right companies to do the work. I'm going to put Travis on the spot, but if he doesn't have a good answer, I know a little bit of the answer. I know it's deep because they had to go under some other equipment, such as a storm drain and sewer lines. But Travis, can you let me know, have an idea how many of these deeply buried valves that we have?
I couldn't tell you about the depth of the valves themselves, but speaking with James, I know we have roughly 100 to 125, maybe 150 valves underground total. But to give you an honest answer about the depth, I wouldn't be able to do that.
Okay. And this is, and by the way, Travis is sitting in for Michael Fritchie today, if we didn't announce that already. I don't know if we did earlier or not. Okay, and we're going to look into that, Randy, because I want to know as well.
Tom, it's John. Could I ask a question?
Yeah.
I'm just, I'm wondering with all of these valves that are buried, and obviously they weren't all buried at the same time and they're not all at the same depth, are they, would there be reason for concern that they're all the same, or are they all by the same company, or is this something that might be specifically related to valves that were laid down when they built the fairways? Is it something you guys think might become more of a universal problem than an isolated problem?
You know, I'm going to ask Travis a question, and he might not have the answer because this is more of a utility instead of water issue. But Travis, do you know how often we actually get to where we're looking at the actual valves? I know we had that big job last year where we have four valves in the same location. What do you think, Travis? Do we have an idea of, are they all the same kind of valves?
They're the same style, but they're pretty much all the same style valves. They're all butterfly valves. They could be of different manufacturers, but they're all pretty much built the same with the same material, because you know they have to be ANSI NSF approved to carry potable water. So they all pretty much have the same material. In the 12 years that I've been here, this is probably only the third major project that we've had to do for valve replacements of this kind. Most all of our breaks are service lines.
And the other thing is, John, when they were excavating this particular valve, there was a lot of loose material in the ground surrounding the valve. It wasn't compacted as tightly as we expected it to be. And it's compacted a whole lot better. The replacement is a whole lot better than it was. And I've spoken to this before, that we're putting together a project plan for that includes putting leak detection sensors on some of our pipes. So, you know, you wouldn't have known this valve was leaking unless it leaked so much that it came up to the road. And the looseness of the material below could have been related to this. This leak could have been going on for years. So we're going to try and do a more proactive approach to detecting leaks. And we may have a better answer if we come across this, you know, a couple more times, and we'll have to discuss how we mitigate the problem.
Okay, thanks. It was just a general question. I'm just trying to get my head around, you know, whether it's a massive problem or just a big problem.
Well, and it could be isolated. Like Travis says, he's been here a while. This is like the third failed valve. So anyway, we're going to do some more follow-up on it. Michael's aware that we need to try to figure out a way to detect leaks before they start coming up on the road. And that's something that's a priority for me.
Thanks, I'm good.
Okay, hearing there's no more discussion, we've addressed three Public Records Act requests over the past month. One was Mr. Martell wanting to get some historical information on the golf course and the district's activity a couple of years ago. There's a company that was asking about information related to our ERP bid that we put out, and Ms. Eckert, a resident, has requested a copy of the information from the January 2010 board meeting. Amelia took care of answering all these. She does a great job at this. And I think pretty soon we're going to be able to sit down with Ms. Matter and review it in her PRA and kind of close out that one. Well, that one's going to be kind of lingering, but it's a lot of work involved in answering her question. So I want to make sure she really wants what she asked for, if we can narrow it down a little bit. And Mr. Martell was very helpful, and he was looking for something specific, and we went back and we weren't able to find it. So hopefully we're able to deal with these legal requirements for answering these public records requests, because it can eat up a lot of staff time. We continue to work on our tree planting program with the Sacramento Tree Foundation. I talked to the folks who are doing the retreats. They got the big pile of trees that they're going to go in and shred up pretty soon. I asked them if it'd be possible for them to let us have the material so we can put it down on the ground as we get into our tree mitigation project. So what happens is they plant all the seedlings and you put a bunch of bark down to keep the grass and whatever weeds from growing. So that's kind of having a little bit of progress. Not a whole lot going on with development, with the exception of what's the retreats east and north. They're pretty busy. They're doing some work again. They were getting ready to dig a trench across part of the golf course by the clubhouse so they can tie into our water. So we had meetings yesterday and today with the developer and the contractor and the country club and our staff. And it was very useful that we met. So I feel like those guys are doing a good job in keeping us in the loop of what's going on, and as well as taking care of our request. The Laguna Joaquin project, you heard more of that from the RMA side of things than from the district, but we are involved. We are attending the meetings. We're following up as needed. And then the potential infrastructure project is the thing I talked about, where eventually we want to be able to do water leak detection. I still haven't heard from anybody at the village management. I don't know if they've hired a new manager over there or not. And I know Kelly is working to meet with them shortly. And then we had a number of meetings with the RMA. President Maybe and I had a pretty long meeting where we discussed about 14 items. I feel like we made some nice progress. I feel like the communications between the two entities is getting stronger. And if there's any questions about any of those items, I'd be happy to try to give you more information. There's a long virtual meeting with the Regional Water Authority as they issued a contract with the current general manager, Jim Pfeiffer, who does a great job. And so the Regional Water Authority extended him a contract that I think is going to keep him around for a few years, which I think is good for the area. I did not attend the SLU House meeting. And then this past Friday was our first Friday where the district offices were closed. There's a couple of hiccups with information that, you know, a couple of people called and weren't quite sure what was going on. And I believe we've corrected. And I think the next Friday that we're closed, which is going to be the 14th or the 28th, we shouldn't have any problems. We are seeing about one or two people come in during lunch, because we used to be closed during the lunch hour and now we're open during lunch hour. And I don't know if we're getting much activity between 5 and 5:30, but we're here if people want to come in. And then again, every other Friday we're working. So we're working to schedule our trainings and stuff on the Fridays where we work. For instance, this Friday, we've got a couple meetings and we might do some training on our electronic document system. We continue to recruit for the gate officer and accounting technician interviews took place this week. And I need to talk to Michael and find out where he's at with recruiting for his office or his operations folks. Then there's a couple trainings coming up in March and in May. And then the CSDA is publishing all their other training classes, as well as other government agencies coming up. And then after the board meeting last month, we had a really nice breakfast here at the district office. Paula and Amelia really did a great job of marketing the fact that we set up to cook breakfast burritos and omelets, and we had some board members come and join us, and almost all the staff came and had breakfast. I thought it was a lot more effective for team building and employee appreciation than just going out to lunch, and I felt like the employees really enjoyed it. And then the last thing I need to do, or I'm doing in my report, is I'm introducing, and when we have a live meeting, I'll bring our new payroll accounting, our accounting assistant payroll person, Alejandra Naveras. Pardon me? So Alejandra joined us last week, and she came to us from Sonoma County, where she had lived for many years. She worked there at a shoe store that was owned by her and her family. And then she was HR and payroll manager for a large tree service in the Santa Rosa area for the last 9 years. She recently moved with her family, which includes her husband and three children, all boys, ranging from 9 to 16. So she's very busy outside of work. And she's moved to Rancho Cordova, which is a good area for us to recruit from. And I'm hoping that Alejandra, we call her Ali, is with us for a very long time. And please come by and introduce yourself when you have a minute. And again, next time we have a meeting in public, I'll ask her to stay late and we'll introduce her to everybody. And that's the end of my report. If there's any questions, I'm available.
I do have some questions, Ms. Paula O'Keefe.
Thank you, Amelia. I actually wanted to add a little bit of an introduction to Alejandra. She comes with us with an extremely well-rounded HR background, and she fit in quite nicely within the last week. We're really excited to have her on board. She's very knowledgeable and just a real go-getter and hit the ground running. So absolutely come by and say hi to her and introduce yourselves. She's going to be a great member of our team, and we're expecting her to stick around for quite some time. So thank you, Tom.
And I do have another comment, Ms. Butler.
Tom, when you went to the RMA, or when you had the RMA and CSD meeting, at the bottom it says discuss access times to reservoirs. You can make me crazy if you don't tell me what they talked about or what you talked about.
Well,
what's happening with that?
We talked about the fact that, you know, they're trying to change their access point or access times to what they term as amenities, the RMA terms as amenities. And I don't, you know, from my recollection, and again, we didn't decide anything for sure. We just let them know that we want to stick with the dawn to dusk rules. And we also want to see about, you know, how we can enforce the need to stay out of the reservoirs, to not drive into them or not toss things into them, and to keep people out of them as well as their dogs and stuff. So it's an ongoing discussion, Linda. I don't think anything as yet to be solidified. I know that the board at the RMA has changed a bit over the past few months, and, you know, it's a topic that we'll discuss again. So there's no definitive position, only that we're still concerned, and we'd like people not be going into the reservoirs late at night or, you know, before the sun comes up in the morning.
Okay, Tom, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a comment from the public, if you're ready for public comment, Tom.
I am.
Richard Gears.
Yeah, I had a question on Laguna Joaquin. I was wondering what's going on there. The last thing I heard was RMA was talking about doing blue dye, and they wanted us to pay for half of it. That seemed to be...
Richard, that's a good question. So, because I understand there is some confusion. The district has agreed to assist the payment of hiring a biologist to work with the RMA on possible solutions for dealing with the mixed flies. I know some messages had gone out that we had offered to pay half of the blue dye, and that's incorrect. My offer to the district manager at the RMA was if they could find the proper experienced biologist to talk to our group, which is a small working group, and answer questions, then we would pay for half of the cost of that consulting service. We made no offer to pay for blue dye. Does that answer your question, Richard? I guess, yeah, he's not getting back on. So I guess
that answered his question. Any further questions for Tom? Marty, have you gone to any of these meetings that were supposedly strategy meetings? Have you had any of those recently on Laguna Joaquin?
Not since our last board meeting. The time's been taken up trying to nail down a time that we can meet with everybody involved. And it's set for next week, I believe.
Okay. Very good. So you will probably have something for the improvements committee to report then.
Oh, yeah, I hope so. We have some questions to ask the biologist, and maybe more will come from the meeting, but hopefully you can answer these questions before the meeting so he's not caught blindsided.
Very good. Thank you, Tom. Let's move on to the administration financial update. Paula? Paula, are you muted?
That was me. Paula's in the room with me. So yeah, I'm back on.
I'm going to have to start my spiel all over again. So thank you very much, Randy. That's 2 cents.
thought maybe you were making a sandwich or something.
I could be. So really quickly, just to kind of give the board a little bit of an update, on the Tyler Technologies proposal, we have signed the contract. We have gotten that back to the representative with Tyler, and they should be getting back to us within the next couple of weeks regarding the implementation plan and the project management team. And so wanted to give that little quick update. Things are changing fairly quickly since the finance committee meeting. So we'll be having further discussions and follow up on the next finance committee meeting for February. Moving forward, budget to actuals, we're actually at somewhat of a good point. We're looking in depth into the budget at the 6 month mark. So right now we decided to forego presenting the monthly budget to actuals because we'll be bringing a mid-year budget in February, and we'll be reviewing major accounts, major purchases, doing an overall overview of all of the budget in depth. And so we'll do a lot better presentation of that in February. So again, procurement and contracts, we've already updated that. Scroll down here. Let's see. Reserve funds, we're also working on the reserve information. I received the updated associated reserves information from Mike Fritchie last week. So I'm beginning to work on my financial analysis. So we hope to have this updated and presented potentially at a special board meeting in February as well. Keep going. And then for utility billing, we are allowed to start shutting off water. The moratorium expired December 31st of 2021. So right now, because we are in the evaluation process of looking at all of our outstanding utility billing accounts, we're developing and compiling a list of all of those customers who might potentially be eligible for a water shutoff. And we're going to be reaching out to them within the next couple of weeks to start working on payment plans, making sure that people are getting on a payment arrangement plan so that they are not in danger of being shut off. We really want to work with the residents. We want to make sure, you know, they understand that you know, we don't want to shut their water off, but we do have the ability to do that now. As long as it's, you know, their repayment plan is even $25 a month, as long as they're paying it, maintaining the payments, you know, we want to work with the residents. We want to make sure that they're getting their bills caught up. Right now, the total amount due to the district for outstanding balances is $148,000. And a lot of that is due to the COVID moratorium on water shutoffs, the forgiveness, correct. So, so again, you know, we want to work with the residents to make sure that they're getting their bills caught up and so they don't incur future late fees as well. Also to note, I will be working on a revamp of this report. You know, I want to start including more information that's more relevant to the budget process and basically providing a little bit more of the story of our monthly operations, as opposed to just providing the numbers. And so I'll be presenting a couple of different formats within the next couple of finance committees. And so we'll hope to present a different type of reporting that's more inclusive, providing a lot more detailed information that's more relevant and provides residents as well as the board information that gives you a more transparent view of our operations. And so that concludes my report.
Thank you. Any questions for Paula?
I have a hand raised.
Yeah, I do have one public comment when the board is done with their questions and comments.
Anything from the board?
No.
All right, John.
So, Amelia, would you go back up to the investment report, please?
I will gladly do that.
So in the investment report under CSD reserve obligations, I have asked repeatedly to have the restricted phase two funds for water treatment plant, number one, be broken out. And on the draft reserve balances, it also should report the separate line item from wherever you would determine that reserve comes from. I'm assuming it's just another water capital replacement item for that phase two to be segregated out of the wherever, I'm assuming it's out of the restricted.
John, I want to make sure you said the investment report, and what I have up here is the draft reserve beginning balances. The investment report is on a different page. Do you want me to go to that page where the investment report lives?
No, it's, you know, it's the page before Tom's report, but it has a restricted and an unrestricted $7 million and $3 million.
Okay, so now I'm showing the page.
So right there in the middle, it says CSD reserve obligations.
Very good.
Okay, so in one of those two buckets is the phase two water treatment plant money set aside for expansion, phase two expansion. And somewhere on the draft reserve balances, that amount plus interest should be shown. And I have been asking for over a year and a half now, to have that broken out. And I still don't see it. And I see underwater, there's unreserved fund balances of $1.2 million. Possibly that's where it's domiciled. But either way, before you finalize this reserve balance report, I'd like to see that money broken out, so that there's no misunderstanding from the contract that we have under the FSA.
Okay, and I'm confused now because you're talking about two different reports.
No, and so I'm not talking about two different things though, Amelia. I'm talking about reserves that the district holds. It's not reporting the money reserved for phase two of the water treatment plant.
Hey, John, this is Tom Henning. Will you tell me the origin of that money that you're talking about? That you, where you believe the money came from?
Yes, it's in the FSA. I'm just going to ballpark. There's $4,358,000 that the district funded, and there's $4,358,000 that Rancho North and Gardens funded. 540,000 of our $4,358,000 was set aside for expansion of the water treatment plant for another 1 million gallons of processing.
Okay, that's John, that's what I thought you were talking about. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I want to answer your question then. And that the 540 is the number you're talking about.
That was what it was in 2014.
Correct. And the issue of interest or whatever will be addressed at some point. Now, you'll recall almost a year ago, one of our temporary finance folks put together a pretty extensive summary about where those monies came from, how they were managed, and where they currently exist. And at that time, we made it clear that we believe, and I'm 100% sure, that those monies reside in our checking account. And we're in the process of moving those into the Wilmington Trust accounts under the construction and acquisition. So if you'll go back to that previous screen, Amelia, up to the investment report that was on the consent calendar.
Yeah.
So if you'll look, and John, you know the page very well.
Yeah.
That's where that money will end up being when the time comes. You just scroll down a tiny bit, Amelia, and you'll see it. And right. Before we make that large of a transfer, I need to have Paula 100% aware of the origin of the funds, how the funds were managed, and why it is that we need to move the $540,000 from our checking or our savings account into the Wilmington Trust account.
Plus whatever interest that has.
We'll go through those documents and we'll make sure that there's interest that gets moved or not. And then we'll do that. Hopefully we can do that in January. It might take us until February to do that.
I don't care how long it takes. I'm tired of asking.
No. And there's your answer.
So is this something that can be an agenda item on the finance committee so that this just gets taken care of? And
yeah, Randy, it's John.
We don't have to do this at the board level.
No, we shouldn't be doing it here anyway. But I'm aware of it, and I know what's in the FSA, and I went through the initial Excel that we ran on this. It's a separate meeting and then a finance thing, and then probably in the end doesn't even need to come back here. It just shows up in the report. But yeah, you're right. The next couple of months we can work on it.
And John, you're 100% correct. And Paula will tell you that I've been bugging her about this, but there's higher priorities. We know where the money is. It's not going anywhere. And to worry about the interest, we'll handle that at the time we make that transfer. We'll make sure that we review it with the appropriate folks to confirm we're doing it correctly. But it's just one of the many priorities and cleanup items. The money was taken out of that fund in 2016, probably, or 2015. And it's just confusing how sometimes, you know, things have been done, but we're trying to uncomplicate them. And I need Paula to be able to get her eyes on it before we can finalize it. So,
yeah, the first question we asked when we went through this the first time, the money's there. It's just a matter of what, you know, maybe it's in a bucket it shouldn't be in, and we'll get it in the right bucket. But we'll work on it.
Thank you. Amelia, any further hands or chats?
No.
Good. Then let's move on to the security report. Kelly.
You know, Kelly was out on patrol this evening.
No, he's on.
Is he?
Yeah, he's muted. I'm going to call him.
Okay. I just dropped my glasses and I can't see, so give me a second.
I thought maybe I
should have the board.
We got so used to being in person, this Zoom is throwing everybody off.
Okay, yeah, I put my glasses down and I can't find them. All right, everybody, here we go. All righty. Random. Okay, starting off, we continue to recruit for one gate guard position. We lost two gate officers this last month. We lost Miss Robbins.
Kelly, you muted yourself.
How's that? Hear me?
Now we can.
Okay, perfect.
Last thing we heard was you lost Miss Robbins.
We lost Miss Robbins, and we have V. That's what he goes by. We have another officer in the background process to take her position. We lost Officer Brady very suddenly, and we're currently, that's the one position that we have open. Tom has also authorized us to start looking for a patrol officer, and so we've started that recruiting process as well. We continue to use ABA to help us with staffing shortages. For the end of the year, we have about 200 hours of years to date of hours not being, not patrol, not having patrol. And the overall majority was unexpected sick time, COVID issues, last minute family emergencies, degrees, incidences like that. We hope to significantly cut that number in half this year. And hopefully with our 980 schedule, we'll see reduced sick time and call-ins and call-outs. And hopefully we'll see that number at least cut in half, if not more. That's our goal anyway. ABDA software upgrade. The personnel have been out. They've installed software and hardware, and they are waiting for a date with the personnel in Florida so they actually can go online. And we are currently waiting for that date that they'll let us know in advance. So hopefully they'll come out in the early mornings and it'd be minimum disruptions to the gates, but they're in the final process of doing that last install for us. The Toyota pickup truck, we still have it. We're using it in limited patrol support now. We are waiting for the radio and lights to be installed in the pickup truck. And due to COVID and the holidays, the company's extremely backed up. So there is a slight delay with that, but we are making limited patrol use with the Toyota. We talked about a little bit last month about the LIDAR. The LIDAR has been approved. A purchase order has been approved. And the 6 to 8 weeks production period has started. And once 6 to 8 weeks goes by, I think I mentioned last time, he's not the owner, he's the sales representative, will come out, conduct training for everybody, and we'll be able to put this LIDAR use at night, which is our biggest complaint here is speeding, and we'll be able to use that for nighttime enforcement. Lost and found, this was something that was put out in social media that CSD no longer accepts lost and found at the gate, which is not true. This is what happened is, one of the first things I did when I got here is I took inventory of some of the programs we had here, and I noticed in their lost and found program, they are there to keep CSD's policy is to keep items for 90 days, and then we can return over to the sheriff's department. However, in going through the backlog of property that was kept, we had some stuff from 2018, 2019. We had items well over 90 days. So my instructions to the staff was to clear out everything, and we will no longer keep items over 90 days. We'll follow our policy and turn over any item to the sheriff's department. And somehow that got transpired as we no longer accept lost and found, which is not true. So we've trained all the security personnel, and anybody who will listen, I will tell that is not true. And we do have a lost and found policy, but we will no longer keep things past 90 days. And we got a good relationship with the property officers at the sheriff's department. They came out, took all the stuff that we had, and we established a good relationship with them. The trailer, yes, the trailer repairs. We have put in 3 bids to make repairs to our safety center. We've already got some of the repairs made. We had the trailer leveled. We have 3 bids out there. So hopefully we'll get results back soon so we can go forward with the repairs needed for the trailer. Rancho Marietta Association. We'll talk about the citations that I'll wait for you. I'm sorry. I'm so used to being in person. I'm not waiting. All right. Thank you. We talked about, I met with the Rancho Marietta leadership at the compliance meeting. They brought up again our citations. They noticed that we were a little down in the month of December. We had done 6 citations. And I explained to them, well, the month before we did 37. And with the spirit of the season and the holidays, I think our people just took a little bit of a break from a strict enforcement, but we're back to full strength in January. The compliance meeting, they talked about parking at night. They like to see us increase our parking enforcement at night because of the numerous complaints they have about the parking issues, and we're obliging to that. I've sent out directives to make sure that RMA has given us the streets that are problematic, and we are doing an aggressive campaign with the parking enforcement at night. I also met with, after the compliance, I met with the general manager at RMA, and we discussed some of the issues that we'd like to see resolved or given some insight. The first one was there's a tagging problem in a lot of the property in RMA, bridges, bathrooms, and we talked about ways of combating the problem. Some of the things we came out with is regular meetings with their compliance officers, sharing intelligence about who we think it is and talking to the parents, camera angles. So we talked about a few programs or ways to help combat the tagging problem. The other issues I brought up is that we still need consistency with the gates. We like to know, you know, who is allowed in the gates and who is not allowed in the gates per RMA rules, but specifically to juvenile sports activities. Can we get lists of what a sporting event happens? Who are the parents who are supposed to come on and pick up their kids? We talked about that. We talked about golf carts. You know, should they be stopped? Or are they just let in? We talked about golf club personnel, their entry and exits. We talked about members of the public that aren't members, can they just come on and go to the golf course? We were asking for some insight and consistency with policies that we can enforce from RMA, and they're receptive, and they said that they're going to work on some things to help us out. They also talked about the growth of the development, and I told them, being new here, being 6 months, I see the growth and development being a big issue, and you only have two gates, and one of the ways I saw initially to streamline or provide better, I put it, access to the gates is to maybe have barcodes mandatory for all vehicles. You have several people that have a barcode on one vehicle, yet they have five or six other vehicles that they refuse to get barcodes for, and that adds to the traffic and congestion at the gate. And the general manager said, yes, he would look into that, and maybe they bring it to their board in February. We also talked about the vendors. I go, maybe if not barcodes or some kind of system that can streamline and get the vendors in faster, because if you take out all the people that need that don't have barcodes with their second and third vehicles and all the vendors going through the same gate, if we can streamline those two sources of traffic, maybe it'd be a better solution for the gate officers and not have such backups. And the general manager was receptive. He said he would look into that and maybe address it in their February board meeting. The calendar, I think Tom already mentioned, I'm looking to meet with the Marietta Village people as well as the commercial homeowners. I'm looking to do that sooner than later. And hopefully by next meeting, I'll have that accomplished. Next. Okay, on December 3rd, 2021, a traffic accident at the Riverview car path. CSD security officer responded to the scene of a traffic accident between two golf carts. One party advised the CSD officer that he suspected the other party of being under the influence of alcohol. CSD security officer advised both parties that the CSP was dispatched and they should wait for their arrival. The suspected DUI driver refused to stay and left the area with his friends. However, he left his golf cart behind, which was disabled in the accident. CSP arrived and conducted the investigation, and they were able to do a follow-up to the suspect's residence. And that was on December 3rd. December 7th, 2021, vandalism in Bel Air bathroom. An employee conducted a routine restroom inspection and discovered tagging marks on the restroom doors with paint. SSD was notified and a report was generated. Security cameras observed a couple of juveniles in the restroom shortly before the employee's inspection. And they also notified a CSD security. What we noticed is that the tagging marks are identical to new vandalism that occurred on 1-5-2022 at the Yellow Bridge, the 6B lift station, and the Wooden Bridge. The writing and pins were identical. We were able to work with SSD and RMA. And with good work by our security officers, we were able to identify the juveniles. I met with the father of the juvenile yesterday, and he indicated that his son denied any involvement. And basically, we don't have direct evidence. It's circumstantial, which is true. However, I told him between the hour that there was an hour between bathroom checks by the their maintenance person. And that video camera shows that there was only three people that entered the restroom between that 1 hour. There was an elderly gentleman who was in there about 3 or 4 minutes. And then there was the two teenagers that were in there about 15 minutes. And the maintenance person claims no one else went there and that wasn't there. So he's suspecting the juveniles. But once again, that's not direct evidence for a conviction. However, it was enough for me to talk to the parents and hopefully it stops. So we'll soon see if it continues or not. But that was kind of a win for that situation. And I think we were on the right path with that one. December 17th, 2021 at 1000 hours. There was a battery investigation, Jackson Road and Parkway. CSD responded to a possible traffic accident. Upon the officer's arrival, he discovered two citizens detained at gunpoint by an off-duty sheriff's department personnel and a retired San Francisco police officer. The officers provided identification to our responding security officer and stated that the two civilians had been involved in a battery scenario and were detained. The sheriff's department arrived on scene and conducted an investigation, and their leadership determined that there'd be no arrest, but a report was taken. Next. This is our compliance. I talked about we have six citations, and I gave the reason why, and I hope to do a little bit more enforcement in January. Gate entries by type, here we are. No questions, we can go to the next one. Gate entries denied. You can see the biggest issue again was vendors, but that is down quite a bit from the prior month. So that's a good indication with the vendors that they're getting the message they can't come in early. And we see down, hopefully next month it'll be even lower than 11. There's our case breakdown. The biggest thing we had was extra patrol. And again, that was due to the numerous burglary investigations by the airport and some break-ins we had. So we did a lot of extra patrol. That was our biggest breakdown. Next. No questions. That's it. Thank you. If there's no questions, I'm done.
Thank you, Kelly. Any questions from the directors?
Yeah, Randy, it's John. I have one. We good?
Yep.
Kelly or Tom, I was interested in this upgrade with ABDI. And does this relate in any way to our ability to design or produce a more sophisticated report than we're, you know, historically been able to get out of this thing? The reason I ask that is I've been working on this ad hoc gate committee for the third gate. And one of the starting points of that, and believe me, it's just a starting point, would be to measure gate lifts going in and going out as they come out of para. And it seems they're still, you know, anything sophisticated is like pulling teeth. And I'm not even talking about really sophisticated. Are we going to get any help with this going forward? Is this thing going to be able to do a report writer function that we're going to be able to use in a better way than we've been trying to do for years?
Kelly, do you want me to answer the question?
Yeah, I will say real quick, I did talk to ABDI and I was asking them, especially for the end of year reports, how can we make those reports better? And he told me, the ABDI representative, he goes, whatever scenario you need, we will work with you to try to get those reports how you want them. And that's what he told me. So that's all I have on that issue. But the ABA representative did tell me that they would work with us to try to generate the reports that we're requesting. So, and that was just like maybe a month ago when I talked to him.
Yeah, and I'm going to concur with Kelly. ABDI has been very helpful in shipping me data when we were doing research over the fire hydrant issue, and the data is there. Getting to have regular reports out of the new system is going to be a lot simpler than the system that we purchased and have not upgraded for 14 years. So I think you're going to get a lot better data out of there on a just ad hoc basis or a regular basis as soon as this upgrade is completed.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm looking for. And I'm not looking for, you know, I'm not looking for something, you know, comparable to NASA. I'm just looking for basic data on who goes through the gate and when they go through, how many a day, how many per hour, and that kind of really basic stuff. That, and I get the data and I've looked through it myself, and you know, it's really not very helpful at the moment because it's not formatted in any way we can get anything out of it that we can understand.
I think you'll be satisfied with, I think you'll be more satisfied with what we're going to be producing in the next month or two.
Okay.
And Ms. Butler has a question.
Kelly, I was just wondering on these reports, can we differentiate between what happens inside the gate and what happens outside the gate?
Oh. You mean going forward, or you want me to tell now which one was inside?
Oh, the gate? Now we're going forward or in the next?
Yeah, the traffic accident was inside the gate. The vandalism at the Bel Air was outside the gate, and their battery investigation was outside the south gate. And I could start putting that in there, sure.
Yeah, I would just be looking for like the sum of for the last month or however long we're doing this report, because it would be interesting to see.
Yeah, I can do it in parentheses and say every time it's outside or inside the gate. Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, that's all I would be interested in. I'd like to see I'd like to figure out the percentages of that.
Okay, Amelia, any other hands or chats?
No hands, no chats.
Very good. Let's move on to the utilities report. I guess Michael is not here. Tom, who's going to take this?
Travis Bohannon, our utilities, our plant chief plant operator, is
very good
for Mike today. Good
luck, Travis. You're on.
I'll start with the SB 170 funded projects. The first one is the wastewater facility disinfection. The district met with West Yost and Associates to kick off the ultraviolet disinfection versus sodium hypochlorite life cycle analysis. When we get the results and the recommendations back from those analysis, Michael will be bringing them to the improvements committee. Next, we have the water treatment facility sodium hypochlorite conversion. The district released the request for proposal for the design services for the upgrade for the treatment plant disinfection from gas to sodium hypochlorite. We have had several contractors come out and take a look so they can start moving forward with bids and proposals. Once those come in, Michael will be bringing those to the improvements committee. The Granley's intake structure, HDR engineers met with district staff at the Granley's intake structure site and reviewed and discussed the various safety and environmental project components. HDR will present a proposal to perform the necessary design and environmental permitting to move forward with that project for the construction. I'm not too much aware of that, so I really can't add much more to that. Next, we have imminent infrastructure rehabilitation. Various critical infrastructure issues were identified, corrected, and tracked. At the water treatment plant facility, water treatment plant 2, we're in the process of disinfecting the filter room. And we've just sent out the first biological analysis today. So we're hoping to have plant 2 back online by the end of the week. And then at that point, we will be able to start to take down plant 1 and start doing maintenance on the back pulse pumps.
Are we muted?
No.
Oh, okay, I just have one
Linda
quick
has
question.
Question.
Just a quick question. I never know which is the oldest plant. Is it number one?
No, plant one is the new one. It's okay. The membrane plant. Plant two is the old one.
All right.
For the membrane update, we've increased the chemical cleaning with the membranes so that we are able to get a better LRV and TMP process out of them. And it also lessens the amount of time that we have to take them down for repairs. We had backed away from that, but we had found that the best thing to do was to keep a continual cleaning schedule on that, and it seems to be working better. The back pulse pumps, we're going to be getting those pulled because the inside coating of the pumps are starting to wear away, and it's starting to get little shards that are actually getting into the membrane modules and actually cutting up the membranes, which is creating more and more repairs and for them to be done sooner. The plant we are dealing during the summer, we deal with a manganese issue. And so we feed potassium permanganate to help take care of that manganese. But what we're finding out now is that manganese is starting to put a coating on the membrane encasings, which is preventing us from doing good repairs on the membranes because the UV curing gun won't penetrate. When we take the plant one down, we're going to look into the chamber where that water is fed from to see what we could possibly do to mitigate that or change that. We are in the process. Well, we have received a quote for the cost of the membrane repairs for future. I just received that yesterday. I'll be reviewing that with Michael when he comes back, and then he can bring that forward as necessary. The water distribution system, Tom spoke about the 8-inch valve at Dela Cruz. At the end of the day today, the actual physical repair is done, and they've filled the hole up with the slurry. They also did saw cut the asphalt. So tomorrow they will be in pulling the asphalt up, and then the asphalt company will be out Friday morning laying the asphalt. And then at that point, that should end that project. And below that, you can see there's some pictures going on that we were taking as we were going. You can see on day two all that sloughing that was coming apart. That was just from the wet material from all the water that was in there. The day four, that's the actual valve that we ended up replacing. That thing was encased in concrete.
Oh my God.
And so the whole bottom of it was under concrete, which we were not aware of. So it actually took half a day jackhammering that concrete out just to be able to remove the valve. Once that was done, then the water was turned off. It just happened to be because of the long of all the unknowns that we had, the water was turned off on Friday and the valve was replaced. Let's see. The next thing on the Rio Oso pumps, we've got the Rio Oso pumps in stock. They were sent to us last week. Odell pumps came out. They're the ones that are going to be contracted to install the pumps. They came out last week to look at the project and everything that's going to be needed to be done. That's guesstimated to be about a 5-day project because we have to, you only do one pump at a time because we have to keep one pump going so 800 homes will have water. Once I hear back from them, which will probably be the middle of next week, we'll be able to get a better idea of when the installation will occur. I was shooting for somewhere in the middle to, you know, second to third week of February, but I'll have to wait to see what they say and with the extra parts that they're going to have to order. The VFDs that actually run those pumps, those are probably 5 to 6 years past their life cycle. We will be replacing those. It had been determined to do that separately after the pumps are replaced, because if doing it all at the same time is just way too much going on and more chance for failure. So once the pumps are in and I get the other quotes for the VFDs, I'll be bringing that to Michael's attention so he can be bringing that to the improvements committee. The sewer lift stations, we have 7 lift stations that are either in need of major repair, replacement, or rehabilitation. Michael did a lift station vulnerability memorandum that he took to the improvements committee. I don't know if you want me to go over every single one of them, but it's there and available for you guys to view. The raw water reservoirs, the Clementia subdrain, that has been completed, the repair on that one. The raw water storage and delivery, I don't know what he's doing with all these graphs, so I'm just going to give you an update from the measurements that we currently got for today on how much water we have on hand.
Sounds good.
What a great idea.
For Calero, we have currently in Calero Lake 662.7 million gallons, which is roughly about 2,034 acre feet. That lake is about 78% full. Okay. Chesbro, we have 338 million gallons, and that one's about 90% full. That course goes up and down as we feed the plant. And Clementia is full and spilling due to all the rain that we got. So that one is currently spilling. We are currently running 2 125 pumps from Granley's pump station into Calero. We can run those until we hit about 175 CFS flow in the river. We're at about 400, so we still have plenty of pumping time to go. Let's see here, Nick. So water and wastewater treatment facilities. Once again, I don't know about any of those numbers, so I'll just give you the amount of stored wastewater that we have in the reservoirs. Reservoir one, we have 85 million gallons. And I'm sorry, I didn't do the percentages on these, but when the reservoir one is full, it'll hold 208 million gallons. So, you know, we're still fairly low on that, but we are filling them up. Reservoir 2 only has 9.2 million gallons, and that'll hold 49 million gallons. So, you know, as the water comes in and runs through the ponds, we're storing it. So, so on the site development, the retreats, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know a lot about this stuff.
Maybe Tom wants to jump in because
I will jump in here. If anybody has any questions about any of these things, as Amelia's going to scroll through them over the next few seconds, let me know. So just kind of scroll through them, Amelia. Okay, no questions.
Okay, and then lastly, on staffing, we rehired Robert Miller. He was an operator here before, and he was fantastic at his job, and opportunity happened, and so we were able to rehire him back. And then we have interviewed and sent a offer to for an operator in training. And we're waiting for her to go through the process, and then we'll know more at that point. Is there any questions about anything?
Directors, any questions?
No, thank you.
Amelia, any hands or chats?
No hands, no chats.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Next item on the agenda is to review the district meeting dates and times for February. Do any directors have any problems with these dates, or can we assume we're good to go?
I did receive an email from Mr. Mabee, and he asked that we move the security meeting from February 3rd till February 10th, still at the same time, so a week later.
Prima donna. He's always got to have something special.
I know, he's not even here.
Really? Not even here, and he gets special considerations.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it.
If there's no objections, we're going to move security to the 10th.
Okay, moving on. Amelia, is there any correspondence?
There's no correspondence.
Comments from the public. This is the time where you can, if you have anything relative to anything that's not on the agenda. Amelia?
No, no chats, no hands raised.
No hands and no chats. I'll take that as a no. Item number 11 on the agenda is approved bid and contract for the rebuild of the wastewater tertiary wet well feed pumps. Is this Tom?
I can take this one because I don't think Travis was in at the last improvements committee. Basically, Michael thought it was critical to bring these repair the tertiary treatment pumps forward to the board as soon as possible because they're failing. And if we don't have them replaced in time for delivering recycled water early in the year, we'll run into the same problem we ran into last year where we weren't able to deliver water until July. Michael brought this up as a last minute item for the improvements committee. The improvements committee reviewed it and asked us to bring it directly to the board for approval. I know Travis can talk about anything to do with these pumps, but in general, we would have brought this as an item to the improvements committee as an agendized item, but because of the urgency of it, Michael and I agreed it was a good idea to ask the committee to approve it and allow us to bring it directly to the board. Are there any questions on this request?
No hands, no chat.
I will entertain a motion to approve the proposal from Kirby Pump. Is there a motion?
I'll move to approve it.
Thank you, Director Paul.
I'll second Amelia.
Thank you, Director Merchant. Director Jaco.
Anything on the question? I think that as I recall, Michael wanted to get ahead of this, and kudos to him to make sure that we've got these in time for when we need them, because I know there's a lot of things that are on back order right now all over. And so this was a very good idea on his part. Roll call vote.
Director Jaco.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Yes.
Director Merchant.
Yes.
Director Paul.
Aye.
Thank you.
Approve moving forward with security opinion poll relating to security services and tax revenue. I have to assume that this is you, Tom.
This is me, and this is what I'm hoping is the final step to give our pollster, True North, the opportunity to activate their questionnaires to the residents within the district. We've had this this opinion poll discussed for pretty a number of times, and we've tweaked the questions, and we talked at the finance committee this last month that it's time to move forward. I've met with various people, including all board members, and individually kind of made sure that they're happy with the questions we're being proposing. Not every question is perfect, but our pollster who does this for a living thinks we're in a good position. The focus right now, and as he goes through, when he does his work, he'll learn what the appetite of the voters here in the district is for increasing revenue via another special tax to fund. And basically the question is, do you want to have the new special tax pay for the existing security costs, which are being held up with around $450,000 in property taxes, as well as add more patrol services to the tune of about $225,000, and then to make a commitment to hire sheriff's officers on a very regular basis to the tune of about 120. And this is what he feels is a good place to question. And then from that plan, he'll come back to us and tell us what he thinks he would do if it was his idea to, if it was his job to say, you should go to a vote to raise more funds, or if the poll comes out that there's really not any chance that anything will pass, he'll tell us that as well. So, I mean, I'm not gonna share the questions because that kind of taints those people being polled. And with the board's concurrence, and I don't know if there's really much action that needs to be done other than making sure you guys are all good with me going forward. We're going to go ahead and cut him loose, and probably in the next few weeks, people will start getting phone calls and survey questions sent to them.
So this does not require a motion?
I don't believe so. I think I just wanted to make sure the board's aware that we've done everything we can to tweak it to make sure that we've met, you know, as many of the requests or changes as possible, and that the poll's going to begin over the next few weeks. I hope to have something back from Timothy at True North by the March board meeting. It might end up being the April board meeting. The bottom line is we'd be looking at a November election if we're going to go forward with an initiative.
Marty, you had a question on where the costs came from at the finance committee. Did you get your questions answered?
I did, thank you.
Okay. Any directors, comments, questions?
Yeah, Randy, it's John. Just one that, you know, Tom met with each of us, I think, individually. And my meeting was with him and on Zoom with Timothy, the fellow that's doing this. And man, I wouldn't want to debate that guy. He really knows what he's doing. I'm ready to go here. Absolutely ready to go.
Tom, I don't hear any dissension, so I believe that you have your marching orders as far as moving forward.
Yes, I do, and thank you very much. I look forward to what we learn.
Very good. We will move on to item 13 of the agenda, director's comments, suggestions. Round table, Linda, anything? Linda, muted, still here?
I'm here. I'm fine with everything that we've done.
Okay. John, anything?
Just one comment for particularly for Kelly. In his report, he mentioned, and I understand there was alcohol involved, that there was a wreck out there on the Riverview throughway between the park and the bridge. That is where the bad accident in our community is going to happen at some point in time. the speed out there is uncontrolled. You know, again, this was an accident that, you know, involved alcohol, but one of them won't. I ride that all the time on a bike, and I know how fast I can go, which is about 13 or 14 miles an hour, and people pass me at double the speed. So maybe there can be a conversation at some point about how we enforce speed in that particular location, because it really is out of control.
Right.
Thanks, Randy.
Sure. Absolutely. And especially with our LIDAR at night, I think we're going to have but the LIDAR works on vehicles, not golf carts. But I understand that RMA, they're getting radar, and the radar does work with the golf carts. But yeah, absolutely. Even just extra patrol and presence there, that would help as well. And we're looking at doing that as well, working with RMA together.
Thank you, Kelly. Marty, anything?
Oh, I have nothing to add. Thank you.
And I don't have anything to add either. Anything from staff?
Randy, I think you've ran a really good meeting.
Well,
very efficient. Nice job.
Compared to Tim, I'm not sure that's saying much, but,
well,
but
perhaps okay. your buddy should review the audio.
All right. Thanks, everyone. We are adjourned. Have a great
day. Oh, we have to have a motion if I may be so bold.
Thank you.
Technicalities.
Mr. Shanahan's on the meeting, so I don't want to break any rules.
All right. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I move that we adjourn.
Thank you, Director Butler.
I'll second that.
Thank you, Director Merchant. We'll call vote, Director Janko.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Yes.
Director Merchant.
It's already gone.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yes.
And Director Paul.
Aye.
Thank you. Have a great night.
All right. Thanks, everybody.